And good morning. Welcome to another exciting broadcast of Sunshine USA. And I'm Warren Landis, your host and Bible teacher here on Sunshine USA. And it is a great joy to welcome you into my apartment here in Greenville, South Carolina. I consider this truly the high point of my day when I have people listening to this podcast from all over the world to learn more about God's Word and how to apply God's Word to their everyday lives. Now, I did want to say a word of congratulations to a great friend of mine, Walter Johnson, or I should say Dr. Walter Johnson. He is retiring as the head of the School of Biblical Studies at North Greenville University. I'm not sure if that's the exact title, but basically he's over the School of Biblical Studies at North Greenville University, and he is retiring, and he delivered one of the keynote addresses yesterday over at the graduation ceremonies for North Greenville University here in Greenville, South Carolina, and he did a great job. And he has done a great job for many decades over at North Greenville University. And Walter Johnson is a great friend of mine, and so I want to take this opportunity to congratulate him on his retirement. You know, I'm sure he takes great comfort knowing that he has had such a great influence on ministerial students down through the years. And many of the pastors serving in different churches today are actually former students of his. And I'm sure that he takes great pride in that. And yet, he's one of the most humble men that I know anything about. You know, he's just an everyday guy. And that's what I like about him. But I know that God is not finished with Walter Johnson yet. I'm sure that when it comes to pulpit supply and interim pastor work, he'll do a great job in that area in the days ahead. Great man of God. And all I can say is we need more men like him. And I'm sure that North Greenville University is going to have a hard time replacing him, because he's done such a really great job. But anyway, I do want to say words of thanks to him and let people know he's a good personal friend of mine, and I wish him well going into the future. But now we're going to get into Colossians once again. Today we're in Colossians chapter 4, and if you've taken a look at your Bible recently, you'll find that Colossians chapter 4 is the final chapter in the book of Colossians. Like I say, one thing about Paul does not write the longest books in the Bible. Most of the books he writes in the Bible are very short. They're not very long at all. But he has in these books a lot to say to us as Christians today. And here in Colossians chapter 4, and just to let you know what we're going to be doing today, I'm going to be doing commentary on Colossians chapter 4, and then we'll take a little bit of a review of the book of Colossians as a whole. Paul says, first of all, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. With an alert mind and a thankful heart. And really, these first four verses in the fourth chapter of Colossians talk about the importance of prayer. Paul says, pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message is clearly as I should. Now, let me say this. Prayer is a ministry. You may be thinking to yourself, there's not much I can do for the Lord these days. There's not much I can do for the Lord's servants these days. But that's really not true. Because if nothing else, you can pray for those who are doing the will of God and the work of God. And prayer is a very powerful thing. And if you're a senior citizen, maybe you don't get to go to church too much anymore in person. And you don't have a lot of money. And you may think, I'm not much of much value to God anymore. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because one of the things you have as a senior citizen is something called time. Since you're retired, you have a lot of time on your hands and you could pray earnestly for other people. And there's people that need your prayers. And you could be a part of their ministry by praying for them. Praying for them. And not just praying in general for them, pray specifically. You know, a lot of times we make the mistake in our prayer life, of saying, God, bless all the missionaries around the world. Well, I mean, that's a good prayer as far as it goes. I mean, we do want God to bless the missionaries, but it's great if you could pray for specific missionaries that you know and for the specific needs that they have. For example, I heard about one missionary who wanted his friends to pray that the Lord would send them a jeep. They worked in the jungles of Africa, and they needed a special type of all-terrain vehicle jeep that they could use to travel from one village to another. It would be faster than walking, and probably a lot more comfortable. So, this particular missionary told his prayer partners to pray that the Lord would find a way to provide them with a jeep, and the Lord did that. Pray for specific needs that someone has. You know, pray for your friends, but just don't just say, you know, God bless all my friends. I mean, that's good as far as it goes, but pray for specific needs that you know they have. You might say, Lord, Joe needs a job. Pray that God will provide a job for him so he can support himself and his family. You might have Charles over here. He operates a business. Pray that God will give him the ability to make wise decisions for his business so that they will make money and he can pay his employees well. So pray specifically for the specific needs of the people. Just like when you're praying to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Don't just say, God, forgive me of all my sins. You know, that's the shortcut. But you might want to name specific sins that you know God needs to forgive you of. Now, I know it's true. God knows what your sins are already. But it helps if you can admit to specific sins that you know you're guilty of committing, and saying, God, forgive me for these sins. Now, by the way, the very first verse of the chapter, and I almost skipped over it, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, Masters, be fair and just to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Now, when we read a verse like that, we know, of course, that we don't have, here in the United States today, we don't have slaves in the same way that they did back then. Probably the correct application for us here today would be, you know, employers, treat your employees well. Pay them well. Give them good working conditions. Because after all, if you have a business, your employees are the best asset that you have. You understand that you can't make money without the efforts of your employees. And I think that you should take advantage of every opportunity to praise the employees for the work that they do. And not just simply criticize them when they slip up and do something wrong. I've said this before many times in my ministry, and I'm sure that I will say it many times yet to come. But the fact of the matter is, you will be held accountable as an employer for how you treat your employees. And like I say, that includes paying them a fair wage. And also, trying to provide them with good working conditions. And very importantly, let them know how much you appreciate their service. Now, there's also an application here for employees. You should have a desire to do a great job for your bosses. When you're working for your boss, work with the same attitude that you would have working for Christ. Do what you do as unto the Lord. Amen. Now let's go down to verse 5. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Live wisely among those who are not believers. You have to understand that as a Christian, people are watching you. They're looking at you. They're looking to see how you handle life. And this is especially true of non-believers. And so you want to make sure that you are a good Christian example living among ungodly people. Because ungodly people are watching you to see how you handle things. He goes on to say, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. I'm interested in knowing how many times you have perhaps missed an opportunity to do something for the Lord. I know in my own personal life, I'm always looking for opportunities to tell someone about Christ. And a lot of times I will pray something like this. I will say, Lord, show me the opportunities that I have so that I can take wise advantage of those opportunities. And then we find that Paul says, Tychicus will give you a full report on how I am doing. He is a beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Now, once again, Tychicus is not one of these household names that everybody knows. He's one of those characters in the Bible that we know very little about, other than the fact that he was a servant of Paul, as well as a friend and supporter of Paul. And Paul found him very valuable. So Paul is sending him to the church at Colossae. Now, Paul would probably go there himself if he had the opportunity. But now remember, when Paul writes this book of Colossians, he's writing the book of Colossians from prison. He's a prisoner. He knows that he can't go there himself, so he's sending Tychicus to go there and give them a report on Paul's ministry and what all is being done. Now, by the way, I want to say a word here to those of you that are missionaries or you're evangelists. One of the things that you should always do is to communicate with your supporters. Let them know what God is doing. Let them know what your needs are. And usually in that situation, people will automatically give to your ministry without you having to beg them for contributions. I was talking one time to an evangelist. He was really just getting started in the ministry of evangelism. And he said, the problem I have, I'm having a very big problem getting people to give money to my ministry. And I said, well, are you sharing with them what you were doing with the money that you're asking them to give? And he said, no, I'm probably not doing that. And I said, well, I have found that when you're doing the Lord's work, if you tell your supporters what you're doing and why you're doing it and what your needs are, usually people will figure out for themselves, you know what, this guy needs some money, I'm going to send them some money. So I always like to keep people abreast as to what I'm doing in the Lord's work. You will notice, one thing you'll notice about Sunshine USA, I don't spend a lot of time begging people to give money to this ministry. I mean, basically, we're a low-budget ministry. I don't need a lot of money anyway to do the ministry at this point that God has called me to do. Now, there are some things down the road that I think the Lord would have me to do, and these things will take money, but this is why I share with you what I'm doing with the Lord and the Lord's work so that you will know. And so Paul sends Tychicus to the church at Colossae to give them a full report on his ministry and what all he is doing. And then he says, I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now, Onesimus is someone that we haven't really been introduced to yet. We'll find out more about Onesimus later on in our journey through the New Testament. But Onesimus was a runaway slave. He was a slave that belonged to Philemon. And Paul, by the way, at one point would write a letter to Philemon urging him to take Onesimus back. But in the meantime, Paul had found that Onesimus was a valued worker for his ministry. Now, bearing in mind, back in those days, slaves were not looked upon with high esteem. They were not considered valuable people in the society of that day. That's why they were slaves. But yet at the same time, Paul saw great value in Onesimus. Paul saw Onesimus as a friend and as a supporter of his ministry. And that's one of the things I like about Paul. Paul gave an opportunity to those who may not have an opportunity elsewhere. He says, Aristarchus. Now, you might know I have trouble with some of these names just like you do. Who is in prison with me, sends you greetings. Now, this, of course, lets us know that Paul obviously had great influence among his fellow prisoners. And he led many of them to the Lord, including this guy. And he said, this guy sends you all greetings. He says, and so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. Now, Mark is a very interesting fella. Mark joined Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. Now, Mark at this point was a very young man, really just getting started in the ministry. And he did a very terrible thing on that first missionary journey. He deserted Paul and Barnabas. He went back home at a time when he was so greatly needed. And when it came time to do the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him. And Paul said, nope, not going to do it. He said, Mark deserted us last time. I'm not going to give him an opportunity to do it again this time. But we know that sometime between then and later on in Paul's ministry, Mark proved himself to Paul. And he proved himself to be very valuable in terms of taking care of Paul and helping Paul in his ministry. That's one of the things I like about Paul. Paul gives an opportunity to those who at one time messed up. But he's giving them another opportunity to serve the Lord. That's one of the things, by the way, I like about Bill Gaither. Many of you are familiar with the music ministry of the Bill Gaither family. And one of the things I appreciate about Bill Gaither, he gives a second chance to Christian musicians who have messed up. Christians who have not always been what they should have been, but yet he gives them a second chance. And I like that. It's called compassion. You see, when I see someone that's messed up, someone that's blown it, you know what I think? I think, well, except it be for the grace of God, that can be me. And I also know that I've messed up in some areas. I know that I'm not perfect. I wish I could tell you that ever since I got saved, I have never sinned, I've never not been right with God. But if I told you that, I'd be lying. I'm glad that when we make a mistake, when we've blown it, God doesn't wash his hands on us. He stands ready and willing to give us a second chance, and for some of us, a third and fourth chance as well. God is very merciful. He is very compassionate. And when I recognize how merciful God has been to me, it makes it a lot easier for me to show mercy to other people. Amen? Amen. And then he talks about Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship, and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends you greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect and fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. Now, this is a guy that apparently let Paul know that the church of Colossae had a problem. And the problem that they had was they were listening to false teaching. And like I say, it was not just a problem then, it's still a problem today. In fact, today, that problem is magnified by the fact that we have the internet. And while I have found the internet very useful in my own ministry, in fact, in many ways, I wouldn't have a ministry if it weren't for the internet, but I also know that on the internet, there are those who are teaching false doctrine. And one of the sad things is I find that in so many churches today, there's not a lot of basic Bible doctrine being taught. People today are in many ways ignorant of biblical doctrine. And even if they know what to believe, they don't know why they believe what they believe. You see, part of the job that I have as a teacher of the Word of God, I have the duty and the responsibility to teach you Bible doctrine and to teach you how to put it to use in your everyday life. And to teach you not only what we should believe as Christians, but why. And when you know all this, you're able to judge for yourself the difference between false doctrine and correct biblical teaching. Amen. And then he says, Luke, a beloved doctor, sends you his greetings, and so does Demas. Now, Luke was a very great man of God. He was a medical doctor. Even though, of course, medical science was not nearly as well developed then as it is now. But we know that Luke traveled a lot with Paul, which was a good thing because Paul was not a perfect specimen of health. In fact, Paul often talked about his thorn in the flesh. Now, we're never told specifically what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I personally believe it was an eyesight problem. And probably if Paul had lived in our day, he had the kind of problem that could be very easily corrected with a pair of glasses or contact lenses. But they didn't have that technology back then. And so it was a great hindrance to Paul. And it was good that Paul had someone like Luke who could travel with him. Now this guy Demas, we're going to find out a little more about him later, but not a lot more. We know that Demas had a problem with worldliness. He had a temptation to love the things of the world instead of the things of God. But one of the things we notice here is that Paul had people surrounding him that weren't that well known. And probably most people in the society back then, they would not have found these people very attractive, but Paul found them useful for him in his work for the Lord. And he says, and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. And then Paul says, here is my greeting. In my own handwriting, Paul. Now, this is a very significant statement here because Paul usually had someone write for him because of his eyesight problem. Now, I have glasses that I wear when I do writing. Because if I didn't wear glasses, I would have a hard time seeing what I wrote. And I believe that's the same problem Paul had. But Paul, even though he had somebody to serve as his secretary, so to speak, in writing most of the letters that he wrote, a lot of times he would sign the letter in his own handwriting, and it would be very big handwriting. Because like I say, he probably couldn't see that well. And it served as an authentication for what had been written. And then he says here, remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. He says, remember my chains. You know, we have a lot of people today that are suffering for Jesus. We have a lot of people in the world today that are being persecuted for Jesus. And we should never forget that. We should always remember those who are suffering persecution. And I think as we go forward from this point on, we as Christians are going to face more and more persecution. And one of the ways we could deal with that is to start by praying for others who are persecuted even more than we are. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's not popular today to be a Christian. There was a time when it was. There was a time back in the early 1900s, for example, and even back in the mid-1900s, when Christians were more highly thought of than they are today. In fact, ministers back in those days, a lot of times, would get discounts on different products and services that they needed to buy. For example, a lot of times when the minister traveled, he got a discount. We don't find that to be the case anymore. We as Christians today probably face more persecution than ever before. And so we should prayerfully remember those that are going through persecution. There's an organization in this country. It's called the Voice of the Martyrs. And part of their ministry is to let Christians throughout the world know about Christians around the world that are suffering for the cause of Christ. There are many people who have even died because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just something that happened years ago. I mean, it's still going on in the world today, in different countries around the world. There are some countries today when you're literally putting your life on the line by declaring that you were a Christian. And then Paul says, may God's grace be with you, which is a very typical Pauline greeting. Now, once again, in summary, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Colossae, a church that Paul has never been to. It was not one of the churches founded by Paul. And yet, Paul had a great love for the churches of God, whether he founded them or not. And when he got word from one of his servants that the Christians in the church at Colossae were battling with false teaching, Paul felt it necessary to take the time to write them a letter and to help them deal with that particular problem. And it was a great ministry. And by the way, Paul learned how to thank God for his imprisonment. If it weren't for Paul being in prison, Paul wouldn't have written as many books as he did. And had Paul not been in prison, he wouldn't have had the time to write the letters that he wrote to some of the churches. Paul found that he could be a great ministry to other Christians and to other churches, even though he was locked up in prison. So Paul, when he found himself in prison, instead of complaining and griping and bellyaching about his situation, Paul took the time to write letters of encouragement to churches around the world of his day, and to encourage them, and to even teach them. So in many ways, Paul did not necessarily see his ministry as being hindered because of the fact that he was in prison. Now, another church that Paul wrote to that he had never been to at the time he wrote them a letter was the church at Rome. He wrote Romans. At that point, Paul had never been to Rome personally. But Paul had a great desire to go to Rome in person and to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to establish contacts that would make his work a lot easier when he got there. Now, Paul eventually did get to go to Rome. As far as I know, he never got to go to the church at Colossae, but he did go to the church at Rome, even though he didn't go there the way he wanted to go there. You know, he thought he would go there as this great evangelist with a popular following, and he would just be leading people to the Lord right and left there in Rome. Instead, he comes to Rome as a prisoner. Now, it wasn't a totally bad situation. Paul didn't have to worry about how he was going to pay the hotel bill in Rome. He stayed in a Roman prison. And even though he was locked up, he had a way of ministering to not only those people in Rome, but also those people far away. Now, there's a lesson here for us. Instead of bellyaching about the circumstances we find ourselves in, take a look at the situation and see how you could use that situation to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, the next book we come to is 1 Thessalonians. And then we'll go into 2 Thessalonians. Now, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are two of my favorite letters that Paul wrote. There's a lot of good stuff in here. And I look forward to teaching you 1 and 2 Thessalonians starting with the next broadcast. So I would encourage you to go ahead and read the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And if you have a study Bible like I do, for example, I have the Chuck Swindoll Study Bible, you might want to read any introductory material that is there. And Paul has some very useful things to say about the church at Thessalonica and the ministry that Paul had there. Now, as usual, if you have any Bible study questions, if you have any prayer requests, the best way to let me know is by email, and I have two email addresses. One is warrenlandis@yahoo.com. The other one is warrenlandis@gmail.com. Or if you want to, you can let me know by snail mail. That's the old-fashioned way. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street. That's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80 Thruston Street. Apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. That's Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street. Apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 2-9-6-0-5. And like I say, your letters, your emails are very encouraging to me. They give me the motivation that I need to keep doing what I'm doing for the Lord. But don't fret none, because I'll be back, and I'll see you next time on Sunshine USA.